the first seal of Revelation 6. So I want to read there, but that's we've got a long ways to go in covering the information that's in those two verses in Revelation 6, 1 and 2. And when I say that, there is just a whole lot of practical things that needs to be considered in the mix of the opening of the first seal. Joey Gregg asked the question a few weeks ago, a couple weeks, two or three weeks ago, where is America in prophecy? That's been a long asked question for as long as I can remember. People have asked, where's America at in Bible prophecy? And the truth of the matter is there is no specific passage of Scripture anywhere that alludes to what happens to America in the Word of God. There's speculation, a lot of speculation, and there is the appearance of things that takes place. And so we can draw some speculative conclusions as to what happens to America. And that's kind of when you're dealing with this first seal, you about have to deal with that, because the first seal talks about the person of the Antichrist. So in that, we're going to look at hopefully a couple of different passages of Scripture. I don't know if we'll get to both of them, but I do want to just begin by saying this. And this, I say this with all sincerity, and I hope you'll hear it the way I hope it comes out the way it's in my heart instead of just through words. But listen closely to what I'm going to say here. We have another year and a half at least to try to survive the political philosophy and the political policies of our day. And when I say it that way, I mean it exactly that way. We have to try to survive for another year and a half with the political landscape. In the state of California, we did some looking at this. In the state of California, there's a bill called AB 197 that is before the state legislature, where they can actually take children away from their parents if the parents are not a gender transitioning, offering affirmative care for transgenders. So if your child was to say they feel like that they're a transgender, if you don't affirm their care in that, then this bill can give the state the power to take that child away from the home. Also in that same state, in that same bill, it comes against churches who preach against or take a stand against transgender affirming care. It can shut schools down that don't participate in that. Listen to this. They can even come after hospitals who don't offer transgender affirming care. Now, you say, yeah, but that's an isolated event. It's in a different state, and you're over-dramatizing the situation. All of these things can be said. But it goes to a larger point that the social redesign of our nation is taking place whether we want it to or not. How many of you can see that? In other words, I would even go this far. You're naive if you draw any other conclusion than that. Very naive and blind. Where does this social redesign come from? We were told many years ago that there was this desire to fundamentally transform America. And that's been going on from a social context. But that's not the only context that offers danger. How many of you have ever heard of the BRICS nations? The BRICS nations is a gathering of Russia, China, India, and just recently South Africa. And then there is the desire for the Arab immigrants Saudi Arabia is wanting to join the BRICS coalition. And France is actually looking for an invitation to the BRICS Coalition. Now, what the BRICS Coalition's about, it was established 20 years ago based off of trade. But they have a underlying motivation, and that is to destroy the U.S. dollar as the supreme currency in the world. The currency they're promoting is gold-backed. Okay, now that's significant. It's important because our economy is no longer gold-backed. We are what's called a fiat currency. In other words, value is ascribed to our dollar as we see fit, basically. That's what a fiat currency is. It's not backed by anything. The BRICS nations are trying to coalesce to supersede the American dollar. So we have economic things at play here. Along with the social redesign of our country, I think we would all have to agree that there is an attack on our faith. How many of you can see that there is an attack on faith in America?
Yes, for sure.
And just recently, what the World Economic Forum has offered among global leaders is this. Listen to this closely. That the religions of Christianity and Islam are going to have to change their doctrine concerning inclusivity. And what they're saying by that is that the Christian doctrine and the Islam doctrine are going to have to abide by and receive homosexuality and transgender ideology. Okay, so there is an all-out attack now on faith. How many of you understand that? Over the last 3 years, basically, our military has been kind of involved in this social redesign. May surprise some of you to know that an admiral in the United States Navy has now come out as a transgender. He high up in the naval operation, he now dresses as a woman. Even in military uniform, he dresses as a woman. This is received, and the Pentagon is now trying to train soldiers concerning how they interact with those of a different lifestyle. That began years ago with this don't ask, don't tell philosophy. It infiltrated the military and it began to weaken the military. Now, why are these things important? You've heard me say this before, and I'm very repetitive, and there's a reason why I'm repetitive, because if you don't get the foundation, you'll never understand anything else. We took a look some time back here at the four kingdoms of Daniel chapter 7. Those four kingdoms play a prominent role in Bible prophecy and in the layout of the Word of God. Those four kingdoms were the Babylonian kingdom, the Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman Empire. And that's what's outlined in the book of Daniel. If you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel and the government under a man named Nimrod, then here's what you'll find that is prevalent in any kingdom. It doesn't matter what nation or kingdom it is, there's always four elements that have to be strong in order to have a strong empire. That is, there has to be a political element. In other words, massive political influence. Okay, that establishes a kingdom. You have to have a strong military. You have to have a strong economy. And you have to have a strong religion. Now, many would say concerning the religious aspect, but what about the communist countries? Can I tell you, their declaration against religion becomes their religion. It's a strong force in spirituality. From the Communist Manifesto, you can draw out elements of what's called secular humanism, which teaches that you are your own God. Okay? That's as dangerous a pagan philosophy as it is to worship Molech. Okay, now, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, we're now living in a world where there's an author named Jonathan Cahn. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he wrote a book just recently that's entitled The Return of the Gods. And he likens much of the social redesign of the world to what it was like under pagan gods, such as Molech. Molech wanted the sacrifice of children. I think I shared here last week that we have a guy in America, and again, many people, they just kind of gloss over this, well, it's just some crazy somewhere. But these things have implications. There's somebody in America that went to their doctor, a man who went to his doctor, wanted to go through the sex change operation to become a woman. He wanted a uterus implanted within him so he could get pregnant for the sole purpose of having an abortion. Do you hear the insanity of that? There's such darkness to that, that now you can no longer say, this is just human knowledge at work. This is a darkness from the demonic realm that has infiltrated the knowledge of mankind. Now, there's a reason why the term trans is being used so frequently now. Did you know that word actually started with Christians? You, how many are saved? Seriously, I mean, I take inventory right quick. You know Jesus as your Savior. You are trans. You are being transformed into the image of Christ. Now, do you know what that word literally means? It means change from one state of being into another. I'll make the biblical argument to you that Satan, since the beginning, has hated the human race. There's a reason why he hates the human race. And some would argue this, but I'm going to give you something just food for thought. God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you believe God's perfect? So from God must come perfect things. Does that stand to reason? So the earth in its original state had to have been perfect because it was spoken out by the perfect word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Lucifer, who was a musical angel in heaven, which shows the power of music, and we can go into a whole teaching on that. But Lucifer, through pride and arrogance, wanted to be God. As a result of his pride, he was banished from his position. Where did he go? He came to earth, where he's called the prince of the power of the air. He left the third heaven. He comes to the first heaven. And why did he come here? To subdue God's creation of the earth. But God created man, Adam and Eve, in a perfect earth. You following me so far? And here's what he told Adam and Eve. Subdue the earth. Take authority over the earth. Satan didn't start hating man with God's promise to Abraham. Satan started hating man at the point of original creation because God gave to man what Satan wanted, which was the earth. And here's what man did in the garden as a point of original sin. Man said to Satan, I'm going to give you authority over the earth. I'll live in it, but I'm giving you authority. That's what happened at sin. Okay? So when Jesus died on the cross, he died not just to redeem man, but to redeem all of earth. Are y'all with me so far? So Satan has hated mankind ever since the beginning. When Jesus died, offering transforming power, Satan has been trying to copy that and imitate that since Genesis 3:15. When God made the promise, there's coming one's going to crush your head. You'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. That's what Genesis 3:15 promises. And at the cross, the heel of Christ was bruised, but the head of Satan was crushed. You following me? Satan has been trying to transform the mind of man just as God transforms the heart of man ever since. So this word trans is a spiritual term. To be transformed into the image of Christ is a transformation process of the Holy Spirit. To be transformed in your mind by Satan is a demonic, dark side transforming process. When Daniel prophesies that at the end of the age, knowledge will increase, I take you back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You've heard me say this before. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil substantiates our struggle right now and has ever since time began. God does not want man to know good just as much as he don't want man to know evil. Because good is just as much the enemy of God as evil is. God created man to know God. To know good is to know evil. Which it goes into the big lie that Satan told to Eve. God knows that if you eat of this tree, you're going to be like God, knowing both good and evil. No, no. God designed man to just simply know God. And if you strip everything about the Christian experience down, you can strip it down to that one statement. How many of you want victory in your life? Know God. How many of you have ever been in a spiritual struggle? The answer is know God. If you're struggling with depression, you know what the answer is? Know God. Know Him more intimately. You need Him more intimately. If you're struggling with sexual sin, you know what the answer is? Know God. Don't get to know evil. Know God. Don't weigh out what is good. You can't do good. There's no good thing in you, the Bible says. There's none righteous. No, not one. Nothing good lies within me. My only hope is to know God. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. So the social redesign of our nation revolves around this word trans. Doesn't have to be a sexual connotation. It can be a satanic connotation, which the sexual connotation would fall under that umbrella. But it's much deeper than that. It's the same thing when we abort children. It's the same thing when we offer our currency to others, when we have stamped across it, in God we trust. Are y'all hearing me? So all of these little bitty details that everybody don't pay attention to and we just allocate it to a bunch of crazies. No, these crazies are becoming the voice. So in answer, in a speculative way to Joey's question, what happens to America? I can tell you we are being destroyed from within. And it's of our own doing. Are y'all hearing me? All four pillars of what makes a strong kingdom, and if you go back to the founding of this nation, we established a strong economy. We established a strong military. We established great political influence. And we were the nation that sent missionaries around the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In all four areas, we have become weaker and weaker and weaker. Are y'all with me? How many of you believe Satan is pretty smart? You better agree to that. All right, now watch this. This is something that I'm going to share that I wasn't planning to. So that takes time. And I'm already out of time. Okay, so bear with me. I ain't even read the text. That went longer than I wanted to. This is what the Holy Spirit dropped into my heart this week that shows you how the church is being weakened. Okay, and I talked a little bit yesterday with Ken and Lisa and Haley about this. We were involved in watching Ken murder, slaughtered without compassion, life forms. I mean, listen, let me tell you, sliced their throats. One, he completely decapitated. We killed chickens yesterday, but we got engrossed in a conversation, and I'm going to share it with you, and it's important that you hear this part. This is how the church is being weakened, and I think it's a strategy and a ploy of Satan that I'm gaining passion about inside, and I want you to hear this, and I have to illustrate it this way. There's always been this undying passion in me to appreciate everything God does, even outside of my own personality. Can you hear that? Now, music's been something I've been involved in since I was a kid. Joe can tell you, I don't know how old I was, 6 or something, and they would put a crate behind the pulpit, and I'd stand on the crate, and Mom would play the piano, and I'd sing. And one time, I think I was 10 years old, sung at Watermelon Park up in West Virginia, and there was like 10,000 people there. Somehow or another, stuff like that never did bother me. I didn't, you know, whatever. Music was a big deal in our family, especially on Mom's side of the family. Man, everybody on Mom's side of the family sings. I mean, they either sing or play an instrument, but music's always been a big deal. Listen to this. This is going to surprise some of you. 3 or 4 months back, I was sitting at the house, and I Googled up on my phone Pavarotti. How many of us ever heard of Pavarotti? He's an opera singer. I sat there and listened for, I don't know, a couple of hours. At one point, he almost brought me to tears with his voice. His voice was it's fabulous. He's dead now. I mean fabulous. But he's opera. He was singing this song, Nessun Dorma. And I didn't understand a word of it. But the way he used that instrument was incredible. At the church when we was down here in Statesville, we'd have Don Potter would come. Don Potter is a producer in Nashville. He produced the Judds and for years and played for them. He played for Chuck Mangione back in the day. He did his own thing for a while. He's very, very known in Nashville circles. He would come, and one service we had him to come. He brought his guitar. He sat there for over 2 hours playing his guitar and singing, and never sang a song. It was all spontaneous, and he just sang. About a month after Don Potter was there, we had Dole Lawson and Quicksilver. Have you ever heard of them? Have y'all heard of anybody? I ask you, nobody raises their hands. Dole Lawson's one of the most well-known bluegrass guys that's ever been. He played with J.D. Crowe in the 70s. Dole Lawson, Ricky Skaggs, Tony Rice, and J.D. Crowe, and Jerry Douglas had a bluegrass band, and we had them. We had the Isaacs. We had quartet after quartet. We'd have, and here's why. I wanted every known expression to expose the people to every known expression. I had Walter Burrow come preach. He's a camp meeting preacher. Old time Baptist preacher, and he'd preach and sweat drops just pouring off his nose. I'd have Jack Taylor. Jack Taylor was an eloquent speaker. A master of the English language. I wanted to expose people to every known expression. I wanted that. Here's a passion that I have, and I'm saying it to you, I'm offering it to you. This is what I believe, how Satan has attacked the church. He now has the church at a point to where our greatest motivation is to be mediocre. And here's how he's done it. He's done it by calling out every expression except one little narrow margin. And everything has to sound this way musically. Everything has to be this way, preaching-wise or teaching-wise. And if it's not, it's not anointed. I'm going to bust a myth here. This is a myth. It's a lie. There was a teaching that come a couple, two or three decades ago now, called the performance orientation teaching. And here's what it was about. It was about trying to get people to stop performing and be authentically real. Now, I haven't arrived at a conclusion on this yet, but I am telling you a struggle, and I'm being a little too honest today. But here's a struggle that I'm having within myself, okay? It drives me insane when we're playing music and I hit a wrong note. Drives me insane. Yeah. It should, everybody. Because the discord, which is a word, creates division. A harmonious chord, and there is Bible truth to support this. That's why David, when he was forming musicians that, by the way, played in the Old Testament temple for 33 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. For every second that Jesus walked on the earth, worship preceded it in the Old Testament from the line of David. And you know what David said? He said, I want skilled musicians. Skilled musicians. Now, watch this. And I'm telling you a struggle I have. This is a struggle that I have. And I haven't come to complete conclusions, but I know that Satan is involved, and it's what he has thrown against the church to weaken the religious structure to stop us from fighting against this social redesign. Okay? When we sing, it drives me insane if the harmonies ain't right. I can't stand it. It drives me insane. I'll go to any length to try to get those harmonies right. And if we can't get them right, just don't sing. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's just performance. Therein lies the problem. Because here's what we're saying. We're saying to musicians, come in and play to the best of your ability. But don't play too good, because if you play too good, then you're just drawing attention to yourself, and that's performance. Come in, singer, sing to the best of your ability. But don't sing too good, because if you sing too good, you're just performing. Can I tell you what we're doing? We're saying, we want a rock solid, mediocre band. That's what we're doing. Doing the same thing in preaching and teaching. We want a rock solid, mediocre preacher, or else he's not authentic. Now, take this in the spirit I'm giving it, because there's a balance, and I know there's a balance. One of the things that drew me, I don't know if I can be this honest or not. I have to be careful. So I'm going to be careful here. But I just want to say, one of the things that drew me to Grace Place was the fact that, like it or not, Joe Barrett's just who Joe Barrett is. He's just who he is. He don't know how to be anything other than what he is. What comes out of him, for good or bad, is what's in him. I love that. The authentic Joe Barrett. It's the authentic person that drew me here. And authenticity is a big deal to me. The one thing I learned about Haley that confused me about Haley, she was one of the first women I had ever met that she was real. She don't know how to be anything other than who she is. And there's no need in trying to stop her. It's ridiculous. I mean, because she don't know how to do nothing other than be who she is. But can I tell you this? There's times I would rather you fake it than to get the authentic version of who you are. Because the authentic version of who you are is still in the transforming process, and there's a lot of junk there.
Yeah, for sure.
You hear me? That's why when we come to offer what we offer to God, understand who you're offering it to. Should it not be our best? Should we not say, listen, I don't want to hit a wrong note in front of Jesus?
Amen.
I don't want to throw something together and here God, take this mess. I just didn't have time to work on it for you like I should. What?
Yeah, Lord help us.
Listen, I go back to my love for music. When I was losing my hands during chemo, I would sit at the house because I couldn't work, I couldn't do nothing, and I'd play the guitar. I'd play the guitar. And then my hands started giving out, and I couldn't play the guitar, and I panicked. And I got the mandolin out. Now I'm gonna master this thing. Never did get it mastered, but I'm working on it. Okay? But I had to play something. That got a little hard. I got a dobro out, bought a dobro, and didn't know why. Had never played it, and I got it, and I tried to learn. And since a man's given me a pedal steel, and I've been working on that. I'm trying to do things that I can use my hands that don't work like they used to. I want to do the very best I can to offer something to God, because it's to God that we offer anything. Has to be our best. But Satan has sold us a bill of goods and said, hey, it's okay just to be mediocre. So we've sandwiched everything down into one artistic expression. At the church, I use this as an illustration. At the church, here's what we did. We had a dance team. A dance team. I couldn't dance when I was away from God. And somebody come up with this idea. Let's have a dance team. Lisa's sister, I think. Didn't she had it for a while, Annette? Her and Donna, okay. And there was several ladies that formed this dance team. And they said, we want to dance for the Lord. And I said, praise God. I mean, I can't do it. But I'll turn you loose. And they would come up with songs, and they had flags, and they had movements, and they would choreograph it. And they'd work it hard on Sunday afternoon. They'd work it. And the first time it come time to do it on Sunday morning, they was ready. And they did this song, and the church exploded in praise. And I looked and I thought, that's a beautiful expression of sacrifice and love being offered to the Lord. And I found myself standing in the back of the building with my hands raised saying, oh God, receive their praise. It was an artistic expression that I knew nothing about. But there was people there getting blessed. We have to go outside of the mold of who we are to embrace all that God wants to do and offer. Because I promise you this, based off of Romans 5, there's much more than what you've received.
Yeah.
Satan's trying to squash that out. I give it to you this way. If George Jones was still alive and you'd put him up here singing How Great Is Our God or some song, it wouldn't sound like what we know. And because of that, some people would point at him and say, that's horrible. If Randy Travis was here singing some gospel song, which he does quite often, the sound is different. And some would point and say, he's just performing. When in fact, he's reaching people you can't reach. You see, I'm saying you got to broaden the scope. If we don't broaden the scope, the church is going to become so weak that we can't stand against this social redesign that is destroying our country and taking us out of the loop of the world system. And there's going to be nothing left but the kingdom of darkness. This is the ministry of the Antichrist of the first seal. It is called the spirit of the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. Can I read to you at least the text that I was going to, and then we'll pick up with that next time, all right? It's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm just going to read the verses. I'm not going to talk about them. I promise I'm not. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. We'll pick up here next week. Now we beseech you, Paul says, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, that's the subject, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Takes you all the way to the second half of the tribulation and what Daniel called the abomination of desolation. We're going to look at that later on. Look at verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There's something, in other words, keeping this from being revealed, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. That's the only thing stopping anything from happening, is the Holy Spirit of God. I heard Greg Laurie this morning, and here's what he was challenging these people to do. Every morning when you get up, pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. Because when he is gone, all that's left is this darkness. After he's taken out of the way, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, his word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, characterizing this person of the Antichrist. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, God will send them strong delusion, that they'd believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the ministry of the Antichrist. That's how he's systematically trying to destroy America. And it begins at the foundation of this country, which is the church. Broaden your scope. Do it now. Embrace every known expression of what God has available for all of us. Judge not someone else's heart, because the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? He'd tickle me to death if God sent somebody in a tuxedo to come up here and sing opera and to look at you people out there while you do this. Glory to God in the highest. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It also tickled me to death to see somebody come in here and play a juice harp or blow a kazoo and wave a flag, and you say, glory to God in the highest. But whatever you do, you better offer your best. Give him your best. It's the only thing that's going to save this country. Do you hear what I said? Father, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for giving us a little foundation. And Lord, as we look deeper into this passage of scripture in Revelation 6, give us understanding and insight that'll guide us. And we'll give you praise for what you do in Jesus' name.